Take your Bibles this morning, open to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're actually going through the book of Luke in our as our Bible study in our adult class. We encourage you to be part of that as we go through the Word of God verse by verse. And you know, we've mentioned over the years, we've read the Bible a lot, most of the Bible through in that Sunday school class somewhere along the line. Luke chapter 5 deals with fishing. How's that sound? And this time of year it'd be ice fishing. And I remember ice fishing growing up. We had a creek behind our house. Every boy ought to have a creek growing up. I spent a lot of good time in that creek, you know, and I learned a lot of lessons out of that thing. I learned not to go out on ice if it's not hard. And I learned about cracks. I could pick up, you know, I knew how to get out of falling in. I learned how to pick up on cracks on ice and how to get out of them and things after a while. I remember one time we're out ice fishing behind our house. We dug a hole and carp came up. And in a backyard, we had a picture of this. I saw it, it's been about 5 years back or so. I saw this that somebody had, and you know, as you're visiting family and that, somebody had that out in there. But we had about 20 carp laying on our backyard. And we caught them with a shovel. I mean, that's fishing. I mean, just stuck it in and boom, they were. What happens is we opened up that hole in the ice and those carp just come up to that hole and we just shoveled them out there and we threw them up and took a picture of them somewhere. I don't know what happened to them, but we had a fun time, I'll tell you. And fishing can just be fun. I like to fish when I catch fish, amen? But they say anytime you go fishing is a good time. I'm learning that. As you get older, it's okay. Even if you don't catch something, it's okay. Just nice fishing. Getting out and seeing things and, you know, trying to entrap that fish. Well, the Lord is picking his disciples. He's picking men that are, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, are fishermen. Of course, Luke is the author here. He's a medical doctor that's writing this story. And so we pick up this account of this trip, of these men, these seasoned fishermen out fishing, toiling and catching nothing and coming back in frustrated in the morning, and just, you know, that's discouraging when you fish all night and caught nothing. I mean, you know, even if you say, did you catch one? Yeah, it was this big. You know, you can't even tell that story, you know, if you caught nothing. But they were out, they caught nothing. And professional fishermen. I've seen these nets. We're going to read about them. Them cleaning their nets. I'm telling you, you got to get envision this. This boat is about maybe five, 6 feet across, probably 12, 13 feet long, and the nets fill up most of the inside of that boat, and it's just a jumbled mess by the time you get it back in. And so cleaning it isn't an ordeal to get a net clean and to get to laid out so that you can get ready to, you know, throw it out in the morning, out of that boat in the right order. And it's like you got a lot of work, a lot of room to work on that net. And so you get it back in there, it's put away very, very good. And so it's a lot of effort. So we read between the lines and tell the story. We got 4 points here this morning that we want to elaborate on as we work our way through this story and learn about the story and apply it to our own lives here this morning. Stand with me, please. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 is our text. And the thrust of the whole message, the theme of the whole message, is that God would speak to us this morning about us becoming fishermen and us launching out. And not just launching out, but launching out into the deep to go for some folks for the Lord Jesus Christ in his honor. In verse 4, it says this, Luke 5, verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. Pray. Our Father, we again ask you to help us this morning as we open this blessed old book, as we tell a story that's probably been told many, many times in our world. We pray, Father, that fresh and anew this story would be burnt deep in our bosom and its truth embedded with an iron pin upon our heart, that we would not forget what we're here for in this world is to be fishers of men and souls of people. Please help us this morning. May we each take the importance of this task personally in our life today. And we'll certainly thank you, for Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's read through this story real quick, and then we'll come back and make some applications to it. Verse 1 says, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret. You know, I would to God today that people would press to hear the word of God again. How about a hearty amen there? I would that that would take place. It says, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into the one ship, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the, notice singular there. He said, let down your nets. Peter said, I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed the great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Wow. A lot in this story of what happened that day, that those men went out fishing. You know, I think about fish and think about what they caught in those nets. You never know what you might catch in a net. There's all kinds of fish in the ocean, and Sea of Galilee would be where they'd be fishing here, and they wouldn't catch some of these fish I'll list. But I love the fish in the ocean because you don't know what you catch. You know, you just never know what come in. One day I brought in a stingray. This is about this big though. Brought that thing into shore and just landed it, let it go. I mean, I didn't know what to do with it. I don't plan on doing a whole lot with it. Other than I got you, you know, and I got it all the way in. But it was a fine catch. Took a while to get it in. And, you know, I like to fish out in the ocean. I mean, I'm out there with the mindset of who knows what's going to bite on that thing, you know. And I go for it. But, you know, you might think about fish in the ocean. I kind of think of as people. Relate to people. You think of a swordfish. Think of somebody that's kind of pricky. Think of somebody that's prodding you. You think of a shark. Think of somebody that's going to eat you. You think of a blowfish. I think of pride, big head. I think of a sunfish. If it was S-O-N fish, it's something else, but S-U-N fish, sunfish, I think of a pleasure seeker. You think of a clownfish. I think of somebody that never takes anything serious. There's some fish. I try to think, what kind of fish would you want to be? Well, I try to think of, you know, I need a character that I'd like to be. And then I thought of angelfish. Angelfish is a messenger. Angelfish are inquisitive, and angelfish are fearless. Amen? So you got the idea of fearlessly, inquisitively taking the gospel to the world. But angelfish. But, you know, in this story, they got these guys, they got them out of the ship. They got them in, they were out of the ship. They got them back in the ship. They got them off the shore, back in the ship. Got them out there fishing again after not catching anything. That's quite an accomplishment. I thought, you know, sometimes the trouble is getting people off the dock, getting them out the dock, off the dock, and getting them out of the four walls of the church and trying to get out there and look for an opportunity that God might bring your way to be able to witness to somebody and have a real hearty desire of, you know, I'm going fishing. I'm going to try to catch men. How about an amen? I'm going to try to catch some. And you know that God would embed that and burn that in our soul. I wish I was a better witness. How about you? Ever pray about that? You know, I wish I was bolder. But I've thought back at these stories before, and it's helped me do things. You know, to think. You know, if somebody isn't fishing, if somebody isn't doing it, I can't expect somebody else to do it. You get an opportunity to speak to somebody. we should try to do that. Try to strike up conversation with them and somehow gear it towards the Lord Jesus Christ and see if God would not open a door, not to push a door down, but open a door and use some wisdom that the Lord might open up the conversation to really be able to deal with that person's soul and the greatness of Christ and be able to present that into their life. And pray about those opportunities, look for them. So, you know, the idea of just getting somebody into the ship, getting them off the dock, that's accomplishment. Getting out of the dock. They know what to do, but they're on the dock. You know, and there's people today, one time we passed out a paper, and I had people write down the Romans Road. I said, turn the papers in. Didn't tell them anything. I said, just write down the Romans Road, turn it in. Most everybody could write down the Romans Road and turn it in. And I thought, you know, you gotta get off the dock, amen. No, we know what to do. We know we know how to fish, but we're not out there. We're not baiting it. We're not putting it on the hook, and we're not, you know, casting out that line and desiring. Then, you know, God's not pleased with that. God wants us to know how to fish, but He wants us to literally apply that in life. And so God turned this story around. He's a great illustrator. Some people say, you know, I don't like illustrations. Just stick with the Bible. Well, Jesus illustrated. That story was illustrated. These fishermen were illustrated. This is a lesson. This is a lesson, a visual for them to look upon. And then when he pointed them and said, you are going to be catchers of men. You know, somehow what? They surrendered it all. And they don't fish anymore. The only time they fish is when they backslide then. That doesn't mean that fishing's wrong. I'm just saying occupation. They're full time. They entered in to be catchers of men. They sold out this day from this adventure with Christ, and so get off the dock, get in the ship, and then you know, the word launch out was mentioned in our text in verse 4. That not only in the ship, but you got to get out on the water. You got to go out in that sea. You got to go adventure out where you're not safe. You know, you need God out there. The ocean's a very dangerous place. You're very small and insignificant in the ocean. I cannot even imagine being in a little dinky boat and all of a sudden have a huge blue whale, has a 4,000-pound tongue in a blue whale. Imagine how much that guy weighs if his tongue is 4,000 pounds. 2 tons of tongue. I'll bite my tongue. I met some people like that. But, you know, I can't imagine what that would feel like, having that thing come up or being stranded out there in a raft and have sharks circling around you, you know, and you're in a little plastic raft. Can't imagine how insignificant, or being scuba diving. I've got things that I like to do. One of them is, yet someday I'm going to scuba dive, and you know, want to do that before I check out. And if I don't get it done before, then I'll do it afterwards. But I won't need the tank, I guess. But, you know, a couple things you like to do in life, that's something. But I can't imagine, and I don't want to scuba dive anywhere. I want to scuba dive where, you know, your blood runs cold when you see something bigger than you swim up by you. And I want to do that. Now, I want to, you know, you be smart. I'm going to take a knife, and I'm going to take a spear gun, and, you know, and if it gets too close, he's going to pay the price. You know, if they're going to eat me, they're going to eat me with a fight. But, you know, I want to experience that a little bit before life is over. And, you know, so the ocean has, there's dangerous things out there. And we need to have somewhat of guts about us to be able to get a witness and think about it and step out of our own pride and say, you know, this is important in life. It's important. I'm glad somebody witnessed to me. How about you? Would you say amen? Testify. Glad that somebody told you. You might not have been looking around. You might not have been the easiest person to talk to, easiest person to break the ice to. And so, you know, get out, get somebody on the dock, get them out in the ship, get them out in the ocean, and then, you know, get them baiting. We've had people, they go fishing, but they don't want to put anything on the hook. That's gooey. You know, put a worm on the hook. I got plastic worms today, ladies, you know, some guys, you know. Bothers me when a guy doesn't want to get dirty, though. Well, it doesn't bother me so much the ladies, but it bothers me with the guys, you know. Kind of makes you want to push them in the mud. You know, you don't know how to get dirty, boy, you know. And so, but, you know, bait that thing. And it's worth the time and the effort and think, you know, I need to do that. You're concentrating on fishing. In the end of this story, a guy trusted the Lord, did what he said. And in doing this, the multitude was moved that day. The multitude was struck. Crowds were moved that there was something unusual about this person. Because one man surrendered. One man yielded his boat. One man said, I'll do that. I'll do what he says. You know, it's interesting, but, you know, I just have four quick points. First one we've already said, but I want to emphasize them, that there's a congregation, there's a crowd there. And in verse 1, it says the people pressed. It says it came to pass as the people pressed. I wish I could say this greater. I wish I could say it more. I wish I could say a lot in a little bit of time. But I long for what they press for. It says, as the people pressed upon them. And what was it all about? To hear the Word of God. I would to God that people would come to church again to hear the Word of God again. That would be their desire. And, you know, I enjoyed the songs. I enjoyed the specials. I enjoyed all the things. But I wish that people, I wish bottom line, that we got up in the morning, that our desire was, you know what? I desire to hear the Word of God again in my life. I'm going to go to church where they're going to open the Bible and learn from the Bible. I wish that people would press for that. It bothers me when, you know, we got the Super Bowl coming up. And the Super Bowl already, Sunday services are being canceled. And, you know, I admire people who can throw pig skin around. I admire that. I admire, you know, what they can accomplish and things. I get excited. But I think it's a shame that people cancel services, for that. And I saw this one guy, and he had a one-minute message, and it was a communion service in 1 minute. He said, we're going to have a communion service. He said, there's bread, there's some wine up here, and there's a cup. And he said a little bit more, and he opened his shirt, and it was time to play ball game, you know. And he just walked off. He said, you help yourself. And it was somewhat of a joke, but on the other hand, it was a bit of reality of what we're after today. It's pretty bad when things get in our way of important things. Learning the Word of God is important. You know, something drew these people to grow and to mature. And we need the preaching of the Word of God today. It's killing our churches from entertainment. And I'm not against entertainment. I'm just saying it should never take the place to where all of a sudden you don't bring your Bible to church. You don't open your Bible. You don't learn it. You don't learn anything. You don't go home challenged from the Word of God. We don't go home. We come as we are. We leave as we are. We're never changed. We're never enlarged. We're never stretched in our faith. The Word of God will do all those things. And so we decide we don't want to do it, but God gets a hold of our heart. And so there was a, you know, I can't help but think when crowds gather to watch games somebody just throw it out. I mean, what would a ticket be for a medium seat at the Super Bowl? Anybody? I'd like to know. Just a curiosity. $3,000. You guys that are sports minded, is that pretty accurate? Would that be? Where in the world are they getting that? $3,000. That would be a day for I'll pay $3,000 to watch a guy play ball. I mean, that's amazing. And who knows what the... Now, that's probably where you get a nosebleed. Yeah, you know, they're out there. You know? And so that just amazes me that what we're doing with sports in our world today. But anyway, I worry that a crowd would gather like that because somebody's going to open the Bible. Amen? That would be the crown. So crowds gather for a lot of things, but, you know, they were gathered here. They were gathered for that reason. I hope that's why you come today. And I keep in my office, I keep praying for revival, back to church, back to Bible, back to prayer. You know, revival in our land today, praying for that God would bring that about, that we would have an importance of the Word of God again. Then also, I see that Jesus is the teacher. He's a great teacher. He's communicating in this chapter in verse 3. It says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Now, they're already done. The boats were put away. The nets were cleaned and sitting there, or they're being cleaned. And Simon and prayed him. Now, he didn't command him. He asked him. He prayed him. He commanded him. Or he asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. So he exercised this. He decided he would do this. He exercised his will and said, you know what, I'll do that. That's not easy for a guy who's been fishing all night. I mean, I can't imagine you're cleaning up and you got your pole put away. You got your tackle box all put back into order. You got everything, you know, you threw away your bait. And, you know, everything is cleaned up and you're ready to go home. And a guy wants you to start over after fishing all night. I think look him up. You look him up and down real good. But anyway, he obeyed that. He gave him his wish, and he allowed him. And he went out, and in this communication, look what he's doing here. And this is kind of unusual. He launches out a little from the shore, and he's sitting in that boat. And then the crowd is pressed around the shore, and he sits down, and he teaches. He begins to teach them, begins to instruct them. You know, kind of like we are right now. You know, maybe I could sit down in a ship here. Sit down in my ship. And you know, he begins to teach the people. And they're pressing to hear him. And I've been there. I've been there where how the situation is. And you've been in situations like this. Some amphitheaters are set up like this to where your voice carries. I've been in the old churches are designed for, what do they call that? Acoustics. And you know, of course, you know, if I would get in a church and there would be no one in there and just me, I'd be real quiet. No, I'd be singing and hollering and praying and, you know, echoing there. It's amazing how, you know, those old churches, those acoustics, when they are it was the second church I was ever in as a saved man, second church. It was an old Methodist church, and the church, they're going out, another group come in, and they started a church in there called Truth Baptist Church, and we were in there, and the church was designed from the 1800s, and the preacher would preach away, and he just about like this, had a microphone on the pulpit, and had a pulpit there designed, guys, you know, preaching away, and hammering away, and we're sitting out there. One time we had one of our relatives, it was actually Becky Feitner, that came and visited with us and was staying with us. And she came to the church service. Brother Carlos Browning he's from West Virginia, old-fashioned preacher from West Virginia then. And he's just a preaching away, you know, I know he's preaching on. And, the service was over. And I asked her, I said, hey, well, what'd you think of the service? She said, I thought it was good, but, you know, the sound was kind of loud in there. That guy was kind of loud, you know, they needed to turn that down a little bit. I never told her, but there was no sound in there. He had a microphone, but it absolutely went nowhere. That's all it was a microphone. There was no sound system. The sound system was Brother Brownie. but the building was set up for that. It had that dome, and it just echoed in there, you know. And just a little bit of noise would go long ways. Those were set up for preaching. I was set up for singing. Even if you hear a choir sing, usually they had them in the balconies, and they sang out in those domes, and it just filled those buildings. They didn't know how to design them. Been a little costly to build, but acoustic-wise, it was great. Well, I say all that for this, that you can create acoustic outside. Here in the valley, when we were up the farmhouse, we were down here. They're up on the porch, and we had this little sound system, just little two speakers. As a matter of fact, I still have it. They're only about this big, and they'd be up there, and they're up there playing. I'm testing out this sound system. Said they're playing in the front yard. I said, can you hear me up there? Can you hear me up there? And it's echoing up through the valley. And so pretty soon, they stopped. They stopped in the yard, and they looked down, you know, and I waved, you know, and I could speak to them. You know, so the sound carried. The sound carried. You ever step out at night and hear sound, how it echoes? You know, would you ever try to get a couple echoes? I know you don't think of me that way. Reserved and quiet, but you know, try to get an echo. Hello, 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 hello. Yeah. You know, you wait for an answer. You don't think I've ever got an answer, but I have. somebody else, you know, shouting back, you know, a couple echoes away. But anyway, this was the acoustics that that he created, that people were under that and hearing the word of God that day. And what I thought about Simon here personally, that he yielded his boat. The other two ships were still in. He just used one. Simon was the one he asked, and Simon's the one who's yielded. But in the end of this story, everybody was blessed. You know, the other guys, they got to enjoy the fish, and then they had to bring in, they needed their help to bring in all the fish and everything. And so everybody was blessed. I got to thinking, because one man yielded to what Christ said, his will said, I'll do what you ask. It wasn't in command tense. I'll yield to what you ask. He yielded, and because of this, before the story's over, multitudes of people are blessed. And really, full surrender comes to his shipmates that day through this all, because he surrendered. And then, you know, he said there also, he said in verse 4, he said, now when you had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Not just launch out, but launch out into the deep. I got the idea he had to go out a little bit. By the way, big fish are in deep water. They're catching big fish that day. They're not just little fish, they're going to catch big fish. And so, you know, God wants us to get away from the shore. Are you following me? When we go out away from the shore, you know, not out of our comfort zone, out of our safety zones, out in the water where he has to help us. Out in the waters that it takes miraculous things. Peter knew that was quite a request. He knew that would be, it wasn't rational to do what was being asked. And, you know, I got the idea, though, that Jesus was giving him rent for the boat. I'm going to pay the rent here. I'm going to help you out. But he said to them, he said, launch out of the deep, down your nets. Plural nets. You know, and in the next verse, Simon Peter did what he said. But look at the word in verse 5, where it says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. The last part of verse 5. Nevertheless. Otherwise, he's saying, you know, we've been out all night. We didn't catch anything. Nevertheless, nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to let down the net. Now, you know, there's times you let down a net, and there's times I think Christ had it right. Well, we know he had it right when he said nets. Now, I got the idea, you know what? There's more than one place to fish. Kind of like you don't put all your eggs in one basket. We live in America. I'm telling you what, we've got great fishing holes. We can use the radio. We can use the internet. We can use the media. We can use a printed page. We can use billboards. We can use a lot of things. The world uses those things. We have those things available to us to use today. It blows my mind to know that we can talk to somebody today. You can put something on the internet. Somebody on the other side of the world can read it in just moments of time. That's amazing, isn't it? We have great ability to be able to connect today in the world. So that's ability. Maybe what I'm saying is, maybe we not just have one net. You might want a net in the hospital. You might want a net in the nursing home. You might want a net in the jails. You might want a net in the detention center. You might want a net, you know, in the public school. You might want a net out in the street corner here. You might want a net. You know, there's a lot of nets to let down. Might be a radio net. Are you following? A musical net. But let down a net. Fine. Not just one, but let them down. And, you know, it's the advantage is we were going to catch some fish. Somebody's going to get entrapped in that net. Somebody's going to bite on it somewhere along the way. We need, the idea was they sat there in communication and they listened and they learned and they did. Simon set the example. They did what he asked. They trusted. And in the end of the story, we're going to say this about Simon. People are going to think Simon's greatly anointed of God, but actually he simply just listened to what God told him to do. And in being obeyed, that great miracle took place through him yielding this. I'm telling you that a miracle can take place through us yielding to God today. I want to see a miracle. How about you? And we'll never see a miracle if we don't fish. It's like you can't catch a fish if you don't go fishing. It's really hard to do that. You just don't come up and jump on your lap. You have to go fishing to do that. So we learned some things from this lesson. We learned that, you know, the reason that we want to get a crowd around is for the Word of God. We're trying to draw them with the Word of God, win them to the Word of God, give them something that will help them to go to work tomorrow and the next day and the next day, help them to live their life and help them to raise their family, something that has teeth in it, the Word of God. The communication they taught. There has to be a time where somebody sits and learns to listen. That's, by the way, that's good for our generation today. We need to learn to listen again. Do whatever you have to. You know, when I love to preach, but I like to listen, and I have my own little techniques. I've learned to listen. I do what I have to do to listen, to concentrate. And you should find out, what can you do to listen, to take in the Word of God? Might be taking notes. Some people, notes are a way of keeping them alert. Some people, it deters them. I've seen people who take no notes, and they're able to take it in, and their mind's able to consume it. Find out. It might be that you have to take your shoes off. I don't care, take your shoes off. Wash your feet. Take your shoes off. That helps you stay alert. You know, do what you have to do that you're a good listener. How about an amen? Because it's not just listening to anything. You're listening to something important, something vital, something that can affect your life and others. Multitudes are affected that day. And one man listened. One man obeyed a voice inside of him that's, you know, others would say, that's a dumb thing to do. Then I put away the boat. The nets are being cleaned. What do you mean throwing them out again? Launch out, and then launch out, not just a little bit, but out into the deep again. That requires effort. You know, rowing. It's deep water. You know, it's not easy to pull nets in when they're sunk deep down in. The effort in that is be strenuous. Strenuous. And so, you know, there's a lot of things going on, communication here going on. And then he gives a command. There's a command mode to Peter. I did tell you that it was a request that he could come into a ship. That's a request tense. But in verse 4, it's a command. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, and that he said is in an imperative mode. That means it's a command. Launch out into the deep. Wow. Now, you know, we need to learn something. We need to learn that when our Lord speaks, he intends to be heard and obeyed. If we were in a military meeting this week, you know, we had a rear admiral speak, and we had majors there. All of them, I don't know if there was any there that wasn't officers. All of them. They head up the department. I mean, the head of the Department of Navy was there. The head of the Department of the Army was there. The head of the Department of the Marines was there. The head of the Department of the Coast Guard was there. And I mean, they are the guys that we would call, and they're the heads. They were there. You know, it's interesting that Brother Ferris, who is in the service, recognizes all the ranks and everything. You know who they are, like. He said, I just learned to salute anybody that has something on their shoulder. I learned to salute his officer. And I said, how about that guy there? I said, he doesn't have anything on his shoulder. Yeah, he's the head of the whole thing. There's a guy that's over the Army, over the Navy, over the Coast Guard, over the Marine. I said, the Air Force. Who's he? And I said, he doesn't have anything on his shoulder. He said, well, he's a rear admiral. He has it on his sleeve. He don't wear anything on his shoulder. He's a Navy guy. And he has it on his sleeve. So you pay attention to that. But I noticed when those guys speak, the other guys listen. You know why? Because Rear Admiral's speaking. And if he asks somebody to do something, guess what they do? They do it. Why? Because Rear Admiral's speaking. And one matter of fact, one admiral gave something. He was commenting. He said, I want you to do this. And when I give you an order, this is not a time to discuss what I told you to do. I want it done. I thought, whew, that's an admiral, you know. He didn't intend for them to debate, like they're not going to do it. There's no debate to it. You go do it. I don't know how you're going to get it, but it needs to be done. Well, I thought, you know, as a man, we have people that have that kind of authority. I can't imagine how much higher the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Are you following me? Now, you say, yeah, but what's he saying? Well, you know, I know this. I believe and pray He's going to say something to you today. How about that? You know, I was sitting there on the plane, and I felt like he spoke to me and said, "You're going to talk to that guy?" I'd rather sleep. I mean, I'm going on about 4 hours of sleep that night. You know, took off at 4:30 in the morning. You know, I think, I could sleep. I'd rather sleep. You know, you pray about a conversation. And sitting in the airport, talking to the guy next to me. And I felt like a voice would speak to me. Say, you know, see what you can do there. I ended up talking to one guy, and here he was a saved man. We had a great conversation. But I wouldn't have known that if I wouldn't have said something to him. You know, a lot of times people don't say anything. You know, crowds of people, nobody says anything. Just because you're with crowd doesn't mean you're, you know, there's communication going on. And so, but it amazes me if you look for some, amazes how doors open up and pray about it. But I felt like God speaks to us. So I ask you, I believe that God will speak to us about something. But you know what he told me? I'm thinking about this message. I actually have this outline on the plane. I'm thinking, and I'm working on fishing. I'm talking about fishing. I ask him myself, God speaking, are you fishing? Oh, man, I hate it when I got to apply what I'm going to preach. That doesn't sound like fun. I'd rather just preach it to others. You know? And, you know, I can get on them, Lord. Boy, yeah, or, you know, read them the right act. And the Lord said, you better start with your own act. You know? And now, you know, I pray about it. Not everybody. I think you can get eccentric. But I look for doors. Amen? Everybody needs somebody, but you have to look for an open opportunity. Not everybody's open. But you pray about it. It's amazing who the Lord will bring by. So, but anyway, he was in imperative command mode to launch out. I believe that we have a command of God that's not been withdrawn, that the church of the living God is to reach out in the world today. Go out in the highways and the byways and the hedges and bid folks to come into the house of the Lord. Otherwise, invite them to get saved. Getting real quiet, huh? But get some tracts and get, you know, take some literature and think about a place where you might let down your net. You may not be comfortable in a jail. You know, I kind of am because, you know, my growing up, my bringing up, I relate more to that. But you might not be. You might be comfortable in a hospital. You might be comfortable. You might have something to offer somebody in a nursing home, some kind of empathy, some kind of encouragement. You know, God uses you in that way. You might be, you know, it might be a Sunday school class, or it might be some other way. It might be on the radio. Boy, if you got a good radio voice, I wish I had a good radio voice. I wish I had a real deep voice, just command and authority, you know, way down in the basement somehow. But, you know, and just... You know, you hear that on the radio and just listen. Oh, you know. It amazes me. Sometimes I've seen great big deep voice and a little skinny, scrawny guy. It doesn't seem like it even goes together, you know. But a good radio voice. Well, get on the radio and preach the word of God. But by the way, I've heard people who had no radio voice on the radio preaching the word of God. Singing on the radio. I still am amazed to hear Brother Lester Roloff sing on the radio, you know. He didn't have the, you know, a quality voice, so to speak, but he had a heart for God that came across on that radio. A command. I believe that our general, high authority, high as you can get, has commanded the church of the living God to be fishers of men. You know, we have a banquet. Now, if you're a fisher of men, you're going to look for somebody to bring to the banquet. Boy, preacher, you're getting meddled today. Yep. I mean, hey, going skating. You know what I ask you to come, set an example, a godly example, and bring somebody that needs the Lord. Invite them skating. So why don't you come get run over by our church? You like it. You know, just come and have a good time. But, you know, use things, use tools. It is a fun time to get there, but it's also a tool. Everything ought to have a motive. You know, I think every activity... I kind of, you know, want to put in the Word of God somewhere in there. You never know who's really saved and who's not. Are you following me? Fishers of men. Psalms 107 verse 23 says this, "These see the works of the Lord and his wonders," and listen to this, "in the deep." That's an unusual verse. "See the wonders of the Lord in the deep." You know, I can look at the ocean and I see the wonders of the Lord in the deep. I mean, absolutely phenomenal what's in the ocean. But see, if you never go out there, it's not like God doesn't want to show us a miracle. By the way, when one soul gets saved, to me, that's a miracle. One soul. I talked to Rosa and asked Rosa about the Lord and asked her how Jesus got in her heart and things. And she began to tell me, Rosa understood the gospel. And I thought that was quite exciting. Sit down with that one soul. Her mama one day took her in. She wanted to be saved. Her mama sat down and showed her how to be saved, and she opened her heart. But you know, any soul that gets saved, I think that's a miracle. If Peter wouldn't have yielded himself, they would have missed out on all the miracles of that day of what the Lord had intended there. In verse 6, it says, "And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners." This would be good news from a guy that didn't catch anything all night, "which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so that they began to sink." Now you use your imagination here a little bit as we close. Use your imagination. They're pulling on these ropes together. They had to be talking. They know that they're going to split the catch. They know they're going to split it up, and they're pulling it. Thank you. They're pulling it in, you know, and they're excited about it. You know, they're talking about it. "Well, you know, I never heard of such a thing, you know. And we were just fishing a little bit ago. Where were those fish then, you know? And how did this happen?" And you know, as they pull, they had to literally strain their muscles and everything. I mean, this was sinking their ships. That was a lot of fishing. I'd like to catch a fish that would almost sink a boat. Notice I said almost sink the boat. Blessed. They enjoyed the harvest together. Isn't it a blessing that you can enjoy the harvest together? You never know. You might bring the miracle. Your fishing might open that door that we enjoy the harvest together. They enjoyed the change. Something happened here. Because they fished all night. They caught nothing. They enjoyed catching something. They enjoyed the change. Are you following me? They enjoyed working together. Isn't there something about a group working together for a common cause of man? There's something about working together with somebody. You know, we worked together this morning. Guys came in early to shovel. I appreciate that. Some of them already had it shoveled. But I appreciate guys willing to come in. They came in with the idea, "I'll shovel today." Thank you, guys. Amen. But, you know, you appreciate that. We had guys come in. They plowed the parking lot. You appreciate that. You appreciate not having the snow to track through or ice. We really appreciate not having the ice. We've had a couple Sundays where we've had ice. We didn't have to go anywhere. We could ice skate out here. You know, and it's dangerous. That cement can be dangerous. And but, you know, we have people that did that. People printed the bulletins. People put information in the bulletin. You know, people had Sunday school class. People prepared their classes. I was kind of excited about some of the Sunday school classes, that what they were teaching, you know, some of the verses and things were shared with me this week. And the rooms, you know, it's tailor-made for lessons and things, you know. It's kind of fun to see what the young people are doing and, you know, kind of keeping tat with in touch with them and what's happening. But and then we had specials. We had music. We had pianos playing. We had, you know, things today going on and collectively working together. Speaking of that, can I have all the people that are going to help for invitation come, if you would, please? And then I need a couple more people to help today. Can I have some people, volunteers, Brother Noah? Isaac, would you two come volunteer and pass these out? And just, everybody doesn't need one, but try to be able to look on it. We're going to sing a song. And we know some of it, and some of it we don't know. And so we're going to sing Pass It On. And it's called Launch Out. No, should be okay. Thank you. Brother Terry's going to come and lead it in just a second. And so I want you to get ready for this. And we'll close out today. But you know, there was a great change. They found these men in the end of this thing, Peter himself, verse 8, it says, "And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord.' And for he was astonished, and all that were with him at the drought of fishes which they had taken." And then notice this, because these guys are going to become fishers of men. And notice they're going to surrender all to the Lord because of this event. It says, "And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch what? Men.' And when they had brought their ships to the land," look what they did, verse 11. What was that next word? Verse 11, what was the word? "They forsook all and followed him." You know what? They gave up fishing and for fish, and they took up fishing for men as their full-time occupation. This is the calling of some of those, not all of them, but some of those disciples through that miracle that day. This story of fishing, not catching any fish, but the end of it, it led them to full-time service. How's that? You know, let us not grow weary in being fishers. Let us not grow weary in launching out. And launching out past our comfort zone. Maybe beyond what, you know, we're comfortable with. But no, we need the Lord to go out there and do that fishing. We need the Lord's help. We need His ability. So let's have that kind of spirit. Stand with me, please. Thank you. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? In a minute, we're gonna play this song through, and we're just gonna play it for a couple of verses, and then in the end, we'll sing it and close out. But is God jerking on your chain about being a better witness? I mean, can you hear a message about soul winning and not go to the Lord and say, "God, you know what? I need to improve here. I know if I had my vision this morning, I'd have the whole church lay their hands on me. I'd say, you just pray. You pray your preacher becomes a great fisherman. I desire that in my life. God help us." And then we would take the time to have every single one that would really yield and surrender and come to the end of themselves. We'd have them down here. We'd put our hands on them. We'd say, "God, help them. May that prayer they're praying come to pass." We'd take time to do it. We'd probably be here for hours. I pray that God would hear your heart's cry this morning. I don't know of a time in history in my time of life where God's people's needed than today. I've never seen a day where America's more confused in my time, where homes are more devastated, where direction is more confused. And I'm telling you that the church is needed. God's people is needed today. You're needed. May it be a sobering event. Now the message has been given towards lost or saved people today. And so in a minute when we sing, we're going to ask you, if God's spoken your heart, you need to clear some things up today. I mean, right on the first beginning of that, come down and make some things right with the Lord today. And then if you want to pray by yourself, just pray. If you want some help, raise your hand. We'll have somebody help you. But I want you to know this, that also maybe you're in our service and there's an opportunity, a chance you don't know the Lord. Please come this morning. If you're not 100% sure where you go, if you checked out of this world today, you need to come today. Say, "Preacher, I need to know for sure where I'm going. I need to settle my eternal destiny." We're trying to help you this morning. We can help you, show you from the Bible how to get to heaven. If you'll come, permit us to show you. We'll try to help you today. You know, we're not here to con you. We're not here to make you Baptist. We're here to try to help you know the Lord today. And so if there's some doubt in your heart, please let us be a help to you. As the instruments play, as the altar is open, the invitation is given, would you come? Some's coming. Come with them. We're in a needed world today. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, we need to catch some fish for God. It might be your son, it might be your daughter, it might be your family, it might be your neighbor, it might be the news guy, it might be a guy at the grocery store, it might be your landlord, it might be somebody who rents off of you, somebody dear to you. Might be your wife. Might be your husband. Might be your grandma. Might be just a total stranger that God's working on you to witness to. With no one looking around, how many would say, by the grace of God, I want to be a better fisherman to catch men? Would you just slip your hands up? All right, God bless you. Hands all over. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand. Would you pray and say, God, help me to raise my hand one day. Help me to have the heart to fish. Help me to have the heart to launch out into the waters that are dangerous. They're uncomfortable. I'm going to ask Brother Terry to come and sing this song, Launch Out Into the Deep.
Launch out into the deep. Don't linger near the shore. Go farther out, my friend. Launch out, my friend, launch out, my friend, launch out into the deep. Launch out one more time. Launch out into the deep. Don't linger near the shore. Go farther out, my friend, than you Launch out, my friend, launch out, my friend, launch out into the deep.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the challenge we've received from your word this morning, Lord, to launch out into the deep, Lord, to step out into the water and Lord, to trust that you will take us and make us to be witnesses for you. Help us, Lord, to have a heart for people that will help us to take that step. Lord, give us safety as we travel home and bring us back tonight, Lord, once again ready to learn from your word, ready to worship you, and ready to, Lord, just to be what you want us to be. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.